Well, church, it's great to be back with you. I've been away for a handful of weeks doing some odd different things. 2 weeks ago, or I guess it would be 3 weeks ago, I was at Trinity Community Church. And as the presiding elder for the Pittsburgh North Circuit, I was there to help them transition from being a church plant to an official Global Methodist Church. The very first church in Allegheny West, I think it might be the first church in the United States, that first church plant that moved from a church plant to a church. And so very thankful to have been able to be a part of that. Thank you to Reverend Tom Scott for preaching that day. And then 2 weeks ago, I was on vacation. I don't do vacations very well. I was actually sanding hardwood floors. I was very excited to come back to work. But very thankful to Doug Duffy for filling the pulpit that day. Doug's new granddaughter actually came on that Sunday, so I was especially thankful for him being here. And then last week we had the Pine Valley Choir, and boy, that was wonderful. And Matto did an incredible job speaking, and so very thankful for all of them. But I really am. I'm thankful to be back here with you all. I've missed you when I wasn't able to be with you. Kind of thinking, reflecting upon the past season of life that we have trod, and it is it reminds me that life is full of challenges, and that's just the way that it is, right? You cannot know victory unless you understand what defeat is, and you cannot really fully appreciate joy until you've experienced heartache, and it's hard to understand compassion until you have received it from someone else. And it's how we face the challenges of life will determine whether we will be overcome or whether we will become overcomers. Now, this morning, we're going to be looking at the beginning of Joshua's time in the book of Joshua. It's the sixth book of the New Testament, and it records the entry of God's people into the promised land. And as the book of Joshua begins, Moses had recently died, and the grieving period had ended for the people. And in this first chapter of Joshua 1, Joshua is commissioned to replace Moses. And the book records their entry into the promised land and the beginning of a new nation. So let's begin reading from Joshua chapter 1. God's word says, "After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land that I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land that I have given you. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, Joshua was Moses' aide for 40 years, and in many ways he was more than trained for the task that was set before him. Of course, on the other hand, this had to be an overwhelming time in Joshua's life, right? Moses was known as a friend of God, a humble man of God. How does anybody fill Moses' sandals, right? Moses received the Ten Commandments. How on earth do you follow that? And it certainly was a daunting assignment. Joshua had incredible confidence in the promise and the power of God, even though he may have felt somewhat small and inadequate for the job. None of us are immune from this when we are facing a challenge. Whether we are dealing with the death of a loved one, or facing significant surgeries, or dealing with cancer and hospitalizations and other illnesses, I mean, throw on top of that all of the other issues that we haven't even mentioned, things like our jobs and our relationships and our future. And if this is the kind of future you face, then you very well might understand the apprehension that Joshua was feeling. The challenge was great, and you're not even sure if you're up to the challenge. God, of course, is aware of the hesitancy of Joshua, and so he says to him, "Be strong and courageous, for you are the one to lead these people to the land, to possess all of the land I have swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." You know, when someone is filled with worry, it normally does not help to say, "You just need to stop worrying and relax." I know whenever I do that to Jan, it never turns out good, right? Because when, you know, when you're filled with anxiety and you're filled with worry, and someone just says, "Don't worry," you want to scream, "Don't you think I would be doing that if it was possible? Don't you think I would be strong if I was able to?" And it's almost tempting to hear these words from God to Joshua in the same way, but I think there is a huge difference. Right, three times God says to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous." Each time God gives a command to Joshua, he also gives him the reason why he should be strong and have great courage. You know, God is not simply asking for Joshua to deal with it, to be a grown-up, right? He is telling him he can have courage because God himself has already guaranteed victory. He told him, God told Joshua, "Joshua, you will succeed because of the strength of the Lord." And church, I believe God is saying the very same thing to us. In the book of Hebrews, this same promise applies, this same promise of God's presence applies to believers. Right, Hebrews 13:5, "I will never leave you or forsake you." That there is not a moment in our lives where God isn't. In 1 John 4, John reminds us that greater is he who is in you, who is in the world. John 16, Jesus says to us, "In the world, you're going to have tribulation, but you can have courage because he who lives in us has overcome the world." And that's just the tip of the iceberg. You know, as we face these challenges of life, God wants us to know that he has not left us simply to fend for ourselves, but that God is with us. We don't have to simply rely upon our own strength because God has given us his strength through the indwelling of his Spirit. I mean, we can face anything when we remember that we are children of God, that it is the strong arms of God that hold us up. The matchless wisdom of God is what leads us forward. The unfailing promise of God makes victory sure. Not because we've got it, but because he's got it. And Joshua continues, and God continues to say to Joshua, "Be careful to obey all of the instructions Moses gave you. Don't deviate from them, turning either to the left or to the right, and then you will be successful in all that you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate upon it day and night, so that you will be sure to obey everything that is written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. Now, you got to think about this for a second. Think about what God is saying to Joshua, and when God is saying this to Joshua. Joshua is facing a military campaign, right? Joshua is just ready to enter into the promised land. You know, the Jericho River hasn't been crossed yet. Jericho is yet to have to be paraded around. You know, this is what Joshua is facing. And God doesn't talk to Joshua about tactics or battle strategy. He doesn't begin this time of instruction with Joshua by giving him a plan of attack. Instead, God talks to Joshua about Joshua's heart. God wants us to know that the key to overcoming the obstacles in our lives is spiritual and not managerial. That whatever barrier we face, whatever challenge we come across, your strength for overcoming that barrier is the Lord. And so how do we tap into this kind of strength? I mean, listen again to what God tells Joshua. He says, "Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave you." Right? God is telling Joshua, follow the instructions. Follow the instructions of the Word of God. Trust your Bible. God tells Joshua to meditate on, to think about, to ponder, to reflect on the law of God day and night. He tells them that the best way to prepare for these unknown obstacles that are going to happen in our lives is to be a scripture-saturated person. Joshua, don't deviate from my word from to the right or to the left. And God's telling Joshua that he isn't to be picking from God's word. I'll take a little bit of Joshua, a little bit of maybe some New Testament stuff. We'll skip over that whole Numbers and Leviticus thing. We don't need that. No, he tells them not to pick and choose, but he says, do what God's word says to do. This is my word to you. When we obey Scripture selectively, we are setting ourselves up as the authority as to what determines what is valuable and what is not. When we pick and choose from God's words, we are setting ourselves up as God. And that never turns out well. And Joshua responds, and he trusts in God and is ready to move forward in the strength that God would provide. And Joshua tells the people to prepare. He tells the tribes that who are going to stay on the east side of the Jordan River that it's your job now to help your brothers and sisters take the land on the other side of the Jericho River. And they do exactly that. They go in and they take hold of the promise that God gave to them. And were there battles? And were there trials? And were there challenges? Absolutely. They faced a new one every single day of their lives. But they moved forward in faith. They chose to trust in God. So how do we do the same? Right? How do we move forward in faith in faith, when we are faced with the same challenges and trials and problems that we face, we become people of the book. You know, we must not only read our Bible for information, but we need to read our Bibles for instruction. We must put the truth we read into practice. We must read the scriptures and be quick to ask, how does this apply to my life? We must determine to do what God requires us or asks us to do, even when we may not want to. And as we do this, more and more, we will discover the wisdom of God's ways, and obedience becomes easier. We must learn to trust God's promise and not our feelings. You know, when we feel like we are all alone, we must remember that He has promised us that He will never leave us or forsake us. When our circumstances seem insurmountable, we need to remember to not write the end of the story until the story has ended. When we don't know which way to go, we need to consider that God might be calling us to simply stand still and wait until the timing is right. When we feel like we have failed miserably, we need to run back to the cross and remind ourselves of His staggering forgiveness. Now, church, I wish I could stand here and say, well, you know what? If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not going to have any problems. All the trials of life, they're gone. Every single one of us is either in the fire right now, just getting out of the fire, or getting ready to go into it. There's not a single one of us that is immune from the trials of life, the challenges of life. But whatever obstacle we face, whether now or in the future, we need to remember His words to be strong, to be courageous, to hold to the truth, and to remember that we never, ever walk alone. Thanks be to God for that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You for Your promise to us to never leave us or forsake us, the promise to walk with us through the valleys of the shadow of life, Lord. Thank You for reminding us that although we're going to face a lot of stuff in this world, that You have overcome the world. Lord, help us to cling to You. Help us to cling to what You say. Jesus, give us the courage to follow what You say, because it truly makes a difference. Jesus, thank You for loving us, and we love You back. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.